T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It is Offsides, Mark and Diesel right here on ESPN Upstate. 5 o'clock on a Monday edition of the show. Hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. We have, all I'm going to tell you, at 5:40, we're going to have Diesel versus Diesel. Diesel versus Diesel, which I can't wait for you guys to hear. We're going to have some fun with that. We've got 5 big sports stories for you, and we are jam-packed between the hours of now and 7 p.m. today. Here is how you guys can be a part of it. We are, by the way, you guys are blowing up the text line today. Certainly set a first 2 hours of the show record for the number of texts that have come in. Let's keep it going in the second couple hours of the show today. Here is how you can be a part of this show. You can give us a call at 1-844-477-3776. That number again is 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. Text line is there for you at 71307. Start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. Twitter is there for you as well, at ESPN Upstate, at Diesel on Radio, and at Mark Ryan on Air. That's at M-A-R-C, Ryan on Air. And finally, email. You can email the show, Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C, Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. All of the different ways you can get in touch with us here on the most interactive sports radio show in the upstate of South Carolina. All right, without further ado, it is time for us to do that jam that we call the Top 5 at 5. The top 5 biggest sports stories of the day, the top 5 topics we're discussing. The Top 5 at 5 starts right now.
And now, the Top 5 at 5.
And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hit it.
5.
All right, at number 5 here today, Eric Gilbert, the tight end, the Florida Gator tight end, the LSU Tiger tight end, announced yesterday via Twitter that he is not going to be a Florida Gator at all. He's not going to be a Florida Gator at all. The former 5-star LSU tight end took to Twitter and said that I have decided to decommit from the University of Florida and re-enter the portal. I will not be announcing my final decision until I am rolled into school and on campus. I knew that your scholarship in today's day and age is unbinding. I knew that. I didn't really realize that once you made a decision in the transfer portal, that also is unbinding. At any point in society, do we have the right to hold people to their word at all anymore? You know, Eric Gilbert, 5-star tight end, committed to the University of Florida. He was going to be the replacement for Kyle Pitts, and I'm guessing what happened is he looked at the fact that Kyle Trask was no longer going to be there at quarterback, and he said, I don't trust Emory Jones's ability to get me into the NFL. I don't trust that. But you already committed to the University of Florida. Where are we as a society in terms of commitment these days? You know, and can we just create a rule that if you commit to a school out of the transfer portal, that you actually have to play at that school? Did you guys even know that you could commit to a school and, you know, the school's planning their roster and so forth with you in it as a starter and then decide again, hey, guess what? I entered the transfer portal once. I mean, shouldn't you have a a maximum number of transfers allowed? Should you know, or one a year max? Not allowed to transfer twice in a year? I don't get it. I just don't get it. You might say I'm sore about this because he committed to my school and then backed out. And you'd be right. You'd be right. But believe you me, I feel the same about this for everybody. And I just think it's kind of hooey, you know? If it's this easy just to peace out, you're gonna have guys transferring when their coach yelled at them. You know? Now I'm not playing for you anymore, man. You ticked me off. This doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense at all. Next up.
Four.
All right, at number four today. Kudos, tip of the cap to the South Carolina Gamecocks for winning not one, but two baseball games over the Clemson Tigers over the weekend, both in walk-off fashion. Wes Clark of the Gamecocks has now been named back-to-back, in back-to-back weeks, the National Player of the Year. Kids batting over 600 right now. Huge wins for South Carolina in this series. The Gamecocks came in ranked number 16. Tigers came in ranked number 22. The action in Fluor Field was awesome. I was seeing some pictures from that event. Looked like an unbelievable event to be a part of. And we played two of these games. The third game will be replayed, I'm told, in May. So big ups to the Gamecocks for getting two very, very key wins over great opposition in Clemson. Did some service to this rivalry. And as somebody in me who doesn't have skin in the game, I'm glad. I'm happy to see South Carolina get a tally on the board here. Next up.
Three.
Darian Kendrick, star cornerback. I say star in air quotes. More on that in just a minute. Is no longer a member of the Clemson Tigers football team. You do a little digging on this, and you don't want to speculate, but you do a little digging, and what you hear is that he has fallen short of meeting the standard for behavior on the Clemson Tigers football team. And he's fallen short before, and that what I was told is that he again fell short in the same areas where he has fallen short previously. So whatever he did to be disciplined last year in 2020, he's kept doing that thing, right? And it got to the point where Dabo said enough is enough is enough, because Clemson is all class, because Clemson is all about family. The way you hear about this is simply in the most classy of ways, right? Darian Kendrick is no longer going to be a part of this football team. If you would allow me to speak about Darian Kendrick in purely a football sense for a moment, if you will. This guy made the biggest financial mistake of anybody I've ever heard. For some unknown reason, Darian Kendrick was a projected first-round pick in the draft this year. He decided to come back to school, and now he's kicked off the team. You tell me where he'd be drafted today. Like, let's say, okay, you know what? I'm going to go to the NFL now. I've been kicked off of Clemson. I'm going to go to the NFL. How far has his stock fallen? How many millions has he lost? Has he fallen to a fourth-round pick from a first-round pick? A fifth-round pick to a sixth-round pick? To a first-round pick? A sixth-round pick from a first-round pick? You tell me. I mean, he's having a precipitous fall here, and it's warranted. You know, whenever I give you guys the examples of things that people love that I don't really get, I always say two things, Seinfeld and sushi. Never really got Seinfeld, don't get sushi at all. It's not that I haven't had the right kind, it all sucks. It's raw fish, I'm never going to like it, right? I've never gotten the hype surrounding Darian Kendrick. Ah, but Mark Ryan, he's a five-star athlete who sucks playing football. You guys watched the playoff game, right? Do you want to know who was getting cooked for dinner over and over and over again? Folks, you could take Darian Kendrick out of the oven. He's done. He was done in that game. And I'm like, first round pick my ass. I mean, he was awful. He was literally awful. And he got cooked a lot last year. Take it from someone who watched every game, most of them multiple times, rewatched the games. He was awful. And yet he was a projected first round pick for some unknown reason, man. I don't get it. I wish the kid well. You know, in our politically correct culture, you're not allowed to be critical of anybody. certainly anybody under the age of like 31, but he let himself down. He let his teammates down. He mentally checked out halfway through last season. And this guy should be closer to being undrafted than he should be a first-round pick. I don't get it. I don't get it. Darian, rooting for you to turn your life around, but today, son, you take your lickings here on Offsides. Next up?
Two.
At number two, why, J.J., why? I don't quite understand this at all. J.J. Watt is signing with the Arizona Cardinals. 2 years, $31 million. 2 years, $31 million is the price tag to get J.J. Watt. Do you know that Arizona, and this is why I don't get the decision, I thought J.J. Watt was going to be Green Bay bound. Evidently, it came down to Arizona and Buffalo. The Cardinals have the worst odds to win the NFC West. Another way of saying that is Vegas thinks the Cardinals are by far the worst team in the best division in football. To win, $100, you win $170 bucks if you bet $100 on the Rams to win the NFC West. You win $195 bucks if you bet $100 on the Niners. You win $260 for a $100 bet on the Seattle Seahawks, and you win $700 on a $100 bet if you take the Arizona Cardinals to win the NFC West. Folks, that is, my friends, the best division in football, and I can't figure out why J.J. Watt made the decision he did. Close to DeAndre Hopkins, perhaps. Lifestyle, desert, warmth, perhaps. I don't fully get it, though. All he said was, source, colon, me. And he was wearing an Arizona Cardinals shirt. 2 years, $31 million for J.J. Watt. Did they offer significantly more than anybody else did? He joins Chandler Jones to form a formidable defensive line in the desert. And Kyler Murray has taken to social media and posted a picture. He and J.J. Watt when he was a senior in high school. Pretty cool. Pretty cool to say the least. And finally.
One.
This, I think, is so juicy. South Carolina today announced the launch of a new program aimed at getting fans back into Willie B. It's called the Welcome Home Campaign, and it'll feature throwback pricing for Gamecock football season tickets. They're going to give you the 2010 price tag of $320 bucks plus applicable seat donation fee. You get full seats to go see the Gamecocks this year, a full season ticket package for $320 plus applicable seat donation. The special one-year price of $320 for the season coming as a nod to the ticket price in 2010, the last year of head coach Shane Beamer's first stop in Columbia. This from Ray Tanner. If we continue to stay diligent, hopefully we can have football this fall, fill up the stadiums, and enjoy all the game day traditions we are accustomed to having, said athletics director Ray Tanner. Our team has worked hard to come up with ticket pricing plans that will try and get you back. There is nothing like game day at Williams-Brice. Gamecock Walk 2001, Sandstorm, cheering on the Gamecocks. I hope to see you on these special Saturdays in the fall. The promotional pricing is available for both new and renewal accounts. Due to the ongoing financial challenges, donors have the option of turning the discounted amount into a donation to benefit the Resilience Fund. So my question for you guys is simply this. How much would you pay for Gamecock season tickets, Shane Beamer year one? How much would you pay? Does this get you in the door? Does $320 get you in the door for season tickets for the Gamecocks? Would you pay more than that? Would you not be willing to pay that? Or would they have to pay you to go to Gamecock games this year? Those are today's top five at five. Now it's your chance to chime in, which again, you can do at 1-844 877-377-6. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. The text line is there for you at 71307. Just put ESPN in the body of your text and then rock your biological body. You can get to us on Twitter at Diesel on Radio, at Mark Ryan on Air. That's at M-A-R-C Ryan on Air, at ESPN Upstate. And finally, email. You can email the show, Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. All of the different ways you can get in touch with us here on the most interactive sports radio show in the Upstate. All right, coming up next on the show, some very important dignitaries are calling for Deshaun's team to do this. We'll share with you what that is when Offsides Mark and Diesel continues. We are ESPN Upstate. It is Offsides, Mark and Diesel, right here on ESPN Upstate. Fantastic to have you guys with us. Monday edition of the show. Very, very passionate discussions going back and forth on the show today. And appreciate that very, very much. We want to chime in. We want to get to each and every one of you who want to chime in on the topics that are being discussed today. So we shared with you in the top five at five. The Gamecock fans, the Gamecock's athletic department is doing throwback football prices of $320. Now, you do something like this, you realize you're walking into jokes, right? You realize it, and you choose to do it anyway. Diesel, outside looking in, good move, bad move, throwback pricing to $320.
I think it's a fantastic move.
Even with the oncoming jokes from the Clemson set.
Yeah. If you're able to get 5,000 more tickets, season tickets sold, then you've done your job. You've just increased your season ticket holdings by 5,000 people. That's hard to do. You know, because at this point, in theory, most of the people who are going to have season tickets probably already have them. And you start talking about alumni who have just graduated in the past couple of years and finally have the money to be able to do it. You know, that's a relatively predictable number of people every year. But if you can get 5,000 people who otherwise would not have bought season tickets, guess what? Now they're in your system. Now they're signed up. Now you might get them to buy season tickets again next year. I think it's a fantastic idea.
You know, in radio, right, with what we do, you got to be careful about giving away freebies, right? You give away freebies to people, it devalues the product that you have. You know, it always pains me, Diesel, when I've got to pay $60 to see a fight, when all they really have to do is just flip a switch. They're not actually giving me anything that has any intrinsic value. They're just flipping a switch that allows me to see something that otherwise I cannot, right? You wonder if this makes the difference. You wonder if at $320, that becomes something that you Gamecock fans would sign on for. If you live here in this area and you call yourself a Gamecock fan, is this a good or a bad move? You know, you are devaluing the product. Let's call a spade, you're devaluing the product. But you're saying, we think if we incentivize you with a really good deal, that we might be able to pack Williams-Brice this season. We might be able to do just that. Folks, Williams-Brice is a fantastic atmosphere for a college football game. Fantastic. It is intimidating. Gamecocks lead the nation in ejections, right? The liquid courage is flowing, and it's a hard place to play. And you know what? It should be. Right? I mean, it's your job to create an intimidating atmosphere, an intimidating environment. In terms of sheer intimidation, I think Williams-Brice achieves that word more, intimidations, than does the Swamp in Gainesville. I think Willie B, sitting in the crowd as a rival fan, is a more intimidating place for a visitor than is the Swamp in Gainesville. Right? I think it is. And so for me, outside looking in, this is a smart move for the Gamecocks. My question is, what would it take to get you to go? Is this it? Will you go? Will you sign on from Greenville, from Spartanburg, from Anderson? Would you go see your Gamecocks for $320 for season tickets?
Mathematically speaking, Mark, we're talking about a $45 a game ticket. Just in the price for the tickets. Now, you said there's also the fees of seat rentals, right? Are you talking about chair back rentals, or is there like some extra added on fee on top of that that I'm not fully understanding?
I have no idea. I don't fully understand this either. It says $320 plus applicable seat donation.
Yeah. What does that mean? What that is
eludes me. I have no idea what that means. Right.
So we're talking about a $45 plus per game ticket. That ain't exactly cheap.
It's not, but it's you're getting to see SEC games, right?
Wait a minute. You get like three good home games this year. Otherwise, you're facing Eastern Illinois, Kentucky, Troy, Vanderbilt. That's the first four home games of the year. Kentucky, you know, sometimes is a good game. Vanderbilt probably not going to be. End of the season, once you get into November, you got Florida, Auburn, and Clemson. That's the money right there. That's what everybody's paying for. You're paying for those three games. You're kind of getting Eastern Illinois, Kentucky, Troy, and Vanderbilt for free.
Well, I would say, Diesel, are you sure that you're paying for Florida and Clemson? You know, or would you rather go to a game that you have a chance of winning?
There are a lot of people out there, Mark, and you and I have a tremendous opportunity that we rarely have to pay to get into big sporting events. We can very often use our media credentials as our method of getting in, covering whatever it might be. There's a lot of people out there who say, man, I can't afford $50 a ticket for a game. That's a little expensive. I'm going to sit at home and watch it on TV.
I understand.
So I don't want to talk about $50 plus as if it's chump change.
Right.
Because it's not chump change
to you and I. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest about that, right?
Somebody says, "Hey, do you want to spend $50 to go to this decent football game that you're not really that invested
in?" And by the way,
team?
Diesel,
the answer is no.
You get to drive 2 hours each way, too.
Right.
Congratulations. Make a day out of it, will you? You get Eastern Illinois at home. You get Kentucky. You get Troy. You get Vanderbilt. You get Florida. You get Auburn. And you get Clemson. That's who you get in the home schedule. So wait a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Diesel, you get 7.
Correct.
7. Divided by 320, that's the 45 you're talking about.
45, yes.
Okay, 45 you're talking about. Okay, normally you get 6. So
correct.
Let me bring you guys into something that struck me funny, okay, that was a little odd to me. First year here. Last year I did not do the Clemson box suite games, the press box. I didn't do it last year because of COVID, right? But the year before that, 2019, I was in the media box for every single game. And it struck me, every single game, I asked somebody on the street that was selling tickets, right, how much they were selling. There was only one game the whole year that was asking for three figures. It was the Texas A&M game. Clemson won that one 24-10. Every other game, $20. $25, $30. There wasn't another ticket on the schedule that was more than $40 the entire year to see Clemson play football. Now, that might not sound weird to you guys who live in this area, but allow me to make myself clear. If I try to go to any Florida game and I don't have a ticket that I got from the school, these are the true story. Any Florida game. Florida versus Eastern Illinois, $150 if I get the ticket on the street before the game. Why is that? We're not as densely populated as Florida. Does that create a different supply and demand chain? You know, there isn't the demand for the tickets, but the Clemson Tigers, for crying out loud, the Clemson Tigers, you could go see Clemson play an ACC opponent last year for $25 on the street right before the game. It just absolutely blew my mind. Why do you guys think that is? Well, Clemson's a better football program right now than Florida, as hard as that is for me to admit. Why is it that if I'm walking around outside Ben Hill Griffin Stadium in Gainesville, Florida, outside the Swamp, I can't get a ticket for under $150? I can't get one. But I can walk around Clemson, right around Memorial Stadium there, Death Valley, and I can get a ticket for $25 to see Clemson against Wake Forest.
Well, you know, they say a fool and his money are soon parted, so that might be one explanation. Fools willing to go spend $150 to see Florida Eastern Illinois.
It's what supply and demand states, man. I mean, that's what it says. That's what supply and demand wants from you. Really, Diesel. So, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting. I'm curious. I'm curious if you're a Gamecock fan, if that speaks to you. $45 a game, $320 for season tickets, plus your applicable seat donation, which I don't fully understand. Those of you who have season tickets, Diesel and I, again, the reason Diesel and I don't know what that means is because Diesel and I have been getting in with our press badges for years now. So we don't know what that means, applicable seat donation. Would welcome your thoughts on that and all of the above as well. 1-844-477-3776, 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number to join us on the show this afternoon as we kind of kick some different things around here on the Gamecocks. And man, look, a job well done, a job well done big time. By the baseball team. Two wins over Clemson, both by one run in the Palmetto Series. South Carolina now leads that 4-1 this year. Let's get to Zach in Boiling Springs, who's up next. Zach, thanks for the call, pal. You're offsides.
Hey, I was just wondering. I've been texting the show all day. This is probably one of the best shows you've had since you've been here.
Thank just you so want
to
much.
Let thanks, you know. Man. I actually left work an hour early just so I could listen to it all the way without trying to get in trouble.
Thanks, man. Really do appreciate it.
So with the ticket things and talking about watching on TV, I actually hold season tickets to Clemson University for the football game. Uh-huh. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I keep my parking spot and just tailgate and watch it on TV because I feel like I can see more things on TV and have a better experience watching it in the parking lot than I do inside the stadium.
Because of the lack of competition, right?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with lack of competition. But also, I mean, I just feel like I get a better view. Like, sometimes, even like I enjoy the away games more sometimes because I can watch them in the comfort of my home and I don't have to drag all this stuff an hour away to Clemson just to watch the games. I keep my tickets just because I don't want to lose my spots for the one or two times a year or every few years that they play a good team at home where I can go see it in action and I can say I've been there.
That hurts my heart to hear you say that, Zach. I mean, I want to be in the stadium. I want the sights, the sounds, the smells, knowing that I only get six of these a year. I mean, it all balances out over time. Every now and again, you're going to see a crappy opponent. Every now and again, you're going to see a tough opponent. It all balances out over time. But that hurts my heart to hear people say, "Yeah, it's not really worth it."
So, Zach, let me follow up with what Diesel said with a question for you. Okay, I am Dan Radakovich. Okay, I'm Dan Radakovich here, the athletic director at your school, Clemson University. What do I do to make that not the case? You're telling me you got a better view on TV. Then you can see all the games, right? You can flip the channel into your tailgating tent, and you can see all the different games. So why do I want to go inside the stadium, only see the Clemson game, and I don't even have the same view that I do in my tailgating tent? How do I solve that issue for you? Is it the way the stadium's constructed? I mean, what can I do to get you?
Well, I think it's... For me, it's just kind of a personal preference because I didn't get to go to Clemson games until later on in life when I actually had the money and resources to go do it, and I've always just watched games on TV. But for me, whenever I go to the stadium, I get frustrated trying to go to the bathroom. It's like one of the hardest things to do. They've done some good upgrades on the West End Zone, and those are fantastic upgrades. But the logistics through the stadium, I mean, it's a little bit hard to deal with sometimes, but there's nothing compared to watching Clemson run down the hill and hearing the songs and videos that they put up whenever they're going into the fourth quarter. I mean, for a fan experience like that, that's stuff that you don't get to see on TV. But I guess I've just seen it so many times that I'm just kind of numb to it, and I can watch it on the TV, and I always know what the outcome of the game is going to be.
Yeah, you do. You do. And part of that is the ACC's fault. Zach, thanks so much for the call, man.
Yeah,
I do appreciate it.
I can't get behind. I want, you know, you make memories being in stadiums. You make memories being there, seeing it, hearing it, feeling the crowd get so loud that it makes your entire like chest cavity shake. You that's how you make memories. You're never going to remember sitting on your couch watching the game. You're never going to remember that time that, oh, you know, I was in the parking lot tailgating and I just didn't go in. You're not going to remember those events. That does not compute for me.
Well, I'll tell you what doesn't compute for me, Diesel, is the fact that piggybacking on that, you know, people now want to take videos of concerts on their phone while they're at the concert.
Not me.
They want to take videos of fireworks from their phone on the 4th of July when they're watching the fireworks. Put down your technology and immerse yourself in the experience.
Yeah, that's narcissism. That means I want everybody else to see where I was and say how cool it was that I was there.
And you weren't.
Yes,
and you
exactly.
weren't here.
I don't do that.
There you go. Getting fans in the stands, a texter says, is going to get harder and harder in the future with technology. I could see a full 3D, full field view coming at some point. And look, if you are in the ESPN, in the CBS, in the college rights business, you want that to happen. If you're Dan Radakovich, that is your worst nightmare. Same for Ray Tanner.
Well, football stadiums are getting smaller and smaller. I mean, you could see...
That's a good thing.
You can see stadiums shrinking by... You know, I'm talking about the big stadiums, the 70, 80, 90,000 seat stadiums. They're going to start shrinking, you know? It's not going to be what Michigan and Ohio State were doing every year where they would each add, you know, a couple thousand seats just to stay bigger than the other one. I think that's going to be a thing of the past, man.
Check on our text line. You said it, Mark. ACC opponents is the reason. I'll never forget walking in Carolina at Clemson with some staff ticket I bought on the street for $10. Five of us went in with the same ticket. Now, kudos to you for the $10 ticket. I don't get how five of you go in with the same ticket. Like, what is the ticket person doing watching you guys just pass it backward there? I don't understand how that even happens, you know? Let's see here. Texter says, agree with Diesel. I'd rather make memories of me watching Clemson beat Boston College 100-7. Texter says, I remember sitting in the parking lot and watching Clemson get whooped by FSU with Winston vividly. I was at a party in Atlanta for that game, man. That was a beatdown. Diesel, last night you said Nickelback was a frontman away from being like AC/DC. That's like saying Carolina is one good player away from being Alabama. Like saying a hot dog is one bun away from being a hamburger. Had to rant.
Hey, whoever you are, I appreciate listening to both shows. That's awesome.
That is really funny. You said Nickelback is a frontman away from being like AC/DC?
I know. I said Nickelback writes simplistic, kind of chauvinistic rock songs.
Yeah.
And they never change. Doesn't that sound a lot like AC/DC?
It does.
People just hate on Chad Kroeger because his hair looks like a pack of uncooked ramen noodles. If they had a cooler frontman, people would probably stop hating on Nickelback.
I'm Mark Ryan, and I'm one brain away from being a smart man. That's all. All right, Diesel versus Diesel is coming your way next, right here on Offsides. Mark and Diesel, ESPN Upstate. All right, it's Offsides. Mark and Diesel right here on ESPN Upstate. It is time for a little Diesel versus Diesel. Diesel, take it away.
Okay. So what we're doing here is Shaquille O'Neal apparently is awful at remembering names of athletes. Like, he's really bad at it. He only knows the athletes' last names. And he's in the business. He's supposed to know these athletes' names, and he doesn't. So today we are playing a game of Diesel versus Diesel. The question is, do I, who barely pays attention to NBA basketball at all because I just don't care for the sport, can I guess these athletes' names better than Shaquille O'Neal can. And let's give it a try. Here's the audio directly from TNT.
Let's play Shaq's first name game. Who's ready to go? I hope you are, big fella.
What's his first name?
Keep your eyes on the screen, okay?
Well, he called, what the,
for,
what
the, for the Charlotte
called?
Hornets, number 6 in the league in three-point percentage.
Thaddeus Monk.
Monk is his last name. What?
Monk. I'm going to guess, and I don't know a lot of these. I'm going to guess and say Isaiah. Isaiah Monk. Isaiah Monk.
It's definitely not Isaiah Monk.
Okay, let's
see. Can I give you the correct answer?
I don't. Well, yes, you can. But you want to see if Shaq knows the answer first?
Sure. Sure, we can.
Oh, my gosh. Eli Monk.
No. That would be Malik Monk.
Malik Monk.
Malik Monk is the correct answer. Draft pick out of Kentucky. So that's Eli Monk? What?
Eli Monk. There's like three people in the world left named Eli.
Yeah, one of them's Manning, and Diesel can probably tell you the other two.
Yeah.
Right? So Eli Monk. So both Diesel and Shaq, the good news is, Diesel, in the battle for who is the real Diesel, Shaq Diesel or Diesel Diesel, you're tied with Diesel for a point.
Yeah.
You're tied with Diesel for a point, so for negative points. So here we go. You're both at minus 1 point. Yeah. Diesel versus Diesel. Let's keep it going.
Oh, Malik Monk, man. You know, change the name of this game to what is mama name him?
Yeah. Eli Monk.
What is mama name him?
This one should be a little more up your alley because of your relationship with the Sacramento Kings. He's number 2 in field goal percentage. He's number 7 in blocks.
Sherlock.
His last name is Holmes. His first name is
Sherlock.
What up?
Jamal? Jamal. Is it Jamal? Let's find out.
What up, Holmes? John.
Rashawn Holmes.
I had no idea, Diesel. I had no idea.
Shaq didn't know either.
My knowledge of Sacramento's backup players is very, very limited here, okay?
Yeah.
So I had no earthly idea. No earthly idea. So this is Diesel versus Diesel.
We're both 0 for 2.
We're both 0 for 2 in the Name the NBA Players game. Diesel, let's roll on here.
All right, let's keep it going.
The category. He's not in the top 20, though.
Yeah, he is. He's number 2 in field goal percentage.
Oh, he's number 2, okay.
And number 7 in blocks.
Okay.
Yeah, oh, here we move. This is a youngster.
Oh, Lord.
Plays
Come
in
on.
The big city of New York for the Knicks.
He's having a great year.
Number 7
right behind LaMelo.
Yes. Number 7 in free throw.
DJ Quickly.
He's the second best rookie in the league.
I agree. His last name is Quickly. His first name is...
Did you just say it on the air? You just gave it away.
Oh, no.
You just gave it away.
No.
You're not playing the game, Mark.
No. I'm sorry, man. Sorry, dude. I just blurted it out, man. I'm sorry. Did I get it right, though? We'll see.
Name is...
They don't like playing bookies up there.
Gerard.
Gerard Quickly. No, it's so close. It's Emmanuel Quickly.
No! Oh, you're wrong, too.
Shout out to Emmanuel Quickly. did a session.
I hate to do this, but we're going to stay with the New York Knicks.
What is mama name him?
And I think, look, this is a big man. So I think you got a shot at this. He's number 20 in rebounds. He's number 9 in blocks. His last name is Robinson. His first name is...
Jamarcus.
That's...
Jamarcus.
I want to say that's a good guess, Diesel, but I feel even saying that would be inappropriate.
Okay.
So I have no idea.
Let's find
I have
out.
No idea. Here we go.
Mister.
Not David Robinson, not Big Dog Robinson.
No.
Not Cliff Robinson.
No.
I'm going to go with Stuart.
Stuart Robinson, also known as Mitchell Robinson.
Oh, my God.
Mitchell Robinson.
If you miss those four, you got no shot at this lap.
Point is, Shaquille O'Neal doesn't know anyone who plays in the league after probably around 1997.
And the most embarrassing about that, I'm actually going to give you the victory here, Diesel.
There's still 45 seconds left, but we don't have time to go.
Okay. So here's what I want to say, okay? He owns the Kings. How does he not know a guy on his own team? He has an employee. He's got all of 12 employees on the team, and he doesn't know the name of one of them. All right, Diesel. I'm going to give you... I'm out of time.
Yeah.
I was going to try to hit you with a different sport real quick. But maybe at the top of the hour. The best thing we heard today is coming your way next, right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
Saturday Night Live is crushing it in 2021. They got upset. They upset the entire Jewish community last week. This week, Saturday Night Live goes hard on LeVar Ball. The best thing we heard today. This is Kenan Thompson spoofing LeVar Ball on SNL's Weekend Update.
Halfway through the NBA season, and the front runner for Rookie of the Year is point guard LaMelo Ball. Here to comment is his outspoken father, LeVar Ball.
How you doing, brother? Me, I'm incredible.
Well, that's good to hear. We haven't seen you in a while, man. I was worried with all this COVID stuff that you might not be okay.
Man, I'm perfect. I already got 10 shots of each vaccine. Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and my own home remedy, Levaltrex. It cures herpes brought on by the COVID-19, a.k.a. the macaroni virus.
I don't know about that, but it's been a good year for you. LaMelo is playing really well, your son.
You damn right he is. Yeah. And he's playing for the most storied franchise in all of basketball, the Charlotte Hornets. Charlotte, North Carolina. The regional banking capital of the world. Gateway to Gastonia. No mountains, no oceans, but enough humidity to make your balls sticky as taffy.
That's it? Is that Gateway? It? No, that's not it. That's all we have time for. But that's not it. He ends up bringing out a chocolate shoe.
Oh, wait a minute. Diesel, at some point, can we hear the rest of that? Is that possible?
Probably, yeah.
Probably. I want to hear the rest of that, man. That is hilarious. LaVar, I got to hear the
regional banking capital of the world. Man. And people from Charlotte love to say, "Ah, we're the banking capital of the world." No, you're not.
Do they? Is that a thing?
They really? Love to say. Everybody knows that there's a lot of banking in Charlotte, of course, but they act like it's the banking hub for the entire world.
Oh my God! Wow.
Gateway to Gastonia.
Oh my God, that was good. I can't believe how much like him that sounded like. And it was even what he was saying. Big baller brand, man. He's got his own vaccine brand, man. What is it called? Baltrex? That's amazing. All right. We are jam-packed in the final hour. Folks, there is a potential law that could ruin women's sports as we know them. That and so much more here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.